Brilliant. So if you guys need translation, here's the translation code on the side here. So if you'd like to put that on your phone to get the translation for the sermon. Brilliant. Thank you for that, Joshua. Can we just bow our heads in prayer just as we prepare ourselves as we read the word of the Lord? Father God, we just come to thee. We just thank you for this opportunity to once again delve into the word of God. Lord, we just pray that it most of all gives glory and testifies of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you for everything, Father, and we most of all thank you for thy Son. And we pray this now in his precious and holy name. So we heard the reading from Jonah by Joshua, and then I thought I'd just do a bit of a recap of what we've been doing with the series of Jonah that I've been going through. So I started off with Jonah 1, and that was just looking at the Jonah running away from God and relating that to us. Also, there were sorts of type likes of Christ within Jonah 1 that we could pick up on, which is spoken about in the New Testament. The second part that we looked into with Jonah 2 was running to God, and how we should run to God and seek him. And I think there's a little bit of a theme this morning going with obedience. And I'm going to be talking on not obedience in particular, but a type of obedience. And the title of this morning's sermon for Jonah 3 is Following God's Calling. So in chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah came to Jonah a second time. And this just shows us God's mercy towards Jonah. The Lord gave him a second chance here. He's also given all of us another chance. So a chance that I hope that if you've taken that chance to bow the knee and seek him and genuinely sought him and repented. And we're going to be learning about the repentance of the people of Nineveh. And we'll just go on to that in a minute. So in the King James Bible, it says, I think it uses the words, arise and go unto Nineveh, the great city. And that is similar into the verses of chapter 1. Verses 2. So God is giving Jonah the same instruction to arise and go until Nineveh. What is he to go till? What is this message that Jonah was to give to the people of Nineveh? And that is the message of repentance. He was to go and proclaim the message of God that God gave him. This is the similar to the instructions the Lord Jesus gave all believers at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. It is also known as the Great Commission. We've mentioned the Great Commission this morning, and I'll read it in Matthew 28:16-20. He said, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. In verse 3, it goes on, and I'm sorry, I'm just using the King James here, just to give a bit of a theme of what is going on here. So it said, so Jonah arose. This just gives us imagery. This just gives us imagery as if Jonah's old self was dead, and this new person, God, arose. Furthermore, God was giving Jonah the instruction to go and proclaim the message. He gave Jonah. To us, the word arose would suggest that Jonah chose to obey God from his previous disobedience and seeking God. Nineveh was a great city, and in verses 3, it was described as a visit, that a visit would take 3 days. And so I was looking into this, what this meant, of what this visit of 3 days meant. And some Bible commentators describe that is how big the city is and the length of time it would take for a person to walk around the streets of Nineveh. So if you just imagine that, that just gives us the vastness and how big the city of Nineveh is. So in verse 4, it says, Jonah began his ministry on the first day. So, which suggests that he was within the depths of the city. And Jonah didn't waste any time. He did not waste any time. He began to cry out and say, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. We can learn from Jonah that he didn't waste the time when God gave him the calling. He did it straight away. So he did it straight away and he trusted in the Lord. Do you think the people of Nineveh were an easy people to preach to? So if we just throw yourselves back to when we spoke about it in chapter 1, the city, the people of Nineveh, is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And we know that they were idolatrous, proud, cruel, and a ruthless nation, aiming at with like a world conquest, and they were a huge threat to Israel. So it's as if Jonah went into the lion's den to preach the gospel. It's as if, like, if you think of an area of the world a Christian would need to go to preach the gospel where they're so harsh against the gospel, this is where Jonah went. He went into that very depths of the lion's den. So it wasn't easy for Jonah to preach. I don't think it was easy for him to preach to them. But he trusted and he followed the Lord. So he followed God's calling. And I think we can find solace in the story. Sorry that we know that if we trust and follow God's calling, he will give us the strength and the ability to do the impossible. Jonah was doing the impossible. He should have been killed, and yet we know from the story he wasn't. Instead, what happened is the people of Nineveh repented. This was a miracle. You just need to listen to God's calling to tell others about the Lord Jesus, even if you find it difficult and challenging. This is something that all of you and I should be doing, is to seek God and his words and to give others the gospel. So the people of Nineveh were given this time frame of 40 days. And the significance of 40 is quite big in Scripture. So the significance gives us a context of dealing with judgment or testing. And many scholars understand it to be a number of probation or trial. So the people of Nineveh were being tested to see if they were going to be going to repent. But also the time of 40 days gives us an understanding that we all have a time frame. Not only the people of Nineveh had a time frame, we all have a time frame. It highlighted the sense of urgency for them to believe in God. Once the time is finished, it's up. I'm sorry, it's gone. That's it. And I think the people of Nineveh understood that. So So it didn't take long for the people of Nineveh to seek repentance. So from the writing of Jonah, they believed in God and sought him. They put sackcloth from the greatest to the least. And the use of sackcloth is a very coarse, woven, rough fabric used to make a form of clothing and this garment. And it wouldn't be the most comfortable thing to actually wear. So when they were wearing this, it was a constant reminder of their need to repent and seek the Lord. Sackcloth is used throughout Scripture, and it's a sign of submission. So if you were to turn to 1 Kings 20, 30-31, you can read about the people submitting and wearing sackcloth. And it's also used in grief or humility. So in 2 Kings 19:1, and it was occasionally worn by the prophets as well. The people covered themselves and their livestock with sackcloth. And I wonder if we could relate to this being the covering in the Lord Jesus. If we was to turn to Galatians 3:26-29. So if you'd like to turn there and I can have a read of it.
Sorry.
So Galatians 3:26-29. Someone has the church Bible, do you mind just shouting out the page number, please?
1170,
please. Thank you. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor there is male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You belong to Christ. Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, like sackcloth, Jesus is our covering and the reason for wearing it. So it's the submission to the Lord and his ways. Humility to seek the Lord. And to mourn and seek focus on the Lord for our sins. Not only has the Lord Jesus covered us and our sins, he's also cleansed the sins that we can find in nature. So I'm reading Acts 10:11-15. So this is when Peter had the image, the vision from heaven. And he said, he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by the four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals and were, as well as reptiles and birds. Then the voice of told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat it." And he said, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." So I know this is talking about Peter and what he could eat and stuff, but it's just to say that the Lord Jesus cleansed everything. He cleansed all of heaven and earth. And I wonder if the teaching of covering their beasts and themselves with sackcloth was to suggest that this belonged, themselves and their beasts belonged to God. So as we can see, the people of Nineveh were seeking God and repenting of the evil ways, the news travelled through Nineveh,
and got to the king of Nineveh, and he put out a decree to fast. So not only they fasted, and they covered themselves and their beasts with sackcloth. They were trying to show everything in their power that they could do as a people to repent for all, and trying to get man and beast to find favor in God. They were even willing to lose their livelihood. I don't know if any of you have watched farming programs or looked after an animal and stuff like that, but you have to give your animals food and water every day, otherwise they're going to die and pass. So the people of Nineveh were even going to sacrifice their livelihoods and their very existence, knowing that it wasn't worth it unless they repented and found favor in God. So the people of Nineveh's repentance and sorrow over the sins consisted of four parts. It consisted of their humility. So they wanted to cover themselves and their animals in sackcloth and express their humility to seek forgiveness in the Lord. The next part is, part two is, the repentance. They were constantly aware of their sins when Jonah showed it to them, and they sought to find God's forgiveness. The third part is the mourning. So the king of Nineveh was in mourning about his sin, because when it says dust, it's actually ashes as well, and that's used for a form of mourning as well. And he wanted to mourn for their wicked ways. And it also got me thinking, do we sometimes generally think about, I know we've been forgiven for our sins and we can find favor in the Lord, but do we sometimes, are we generally sorry and mournful about the things that we've done wrong, and actually thought about it? I think if we just do that and we become more grateful what the Lord Jesus has done for us and his sacrifice on that cross, and prayer that the people and animals were praying earnestly to seek God's repentance. So I think in those four parts there, it just shows you that the process of genuine repentance of the people of Nineveh. So Jonah 3 teaches us the importance of repentance and the ability to ask God for forgiveness. I think the other part that I've skipped over slightly is the highlight and the importance of giving the gospel to others. And by one man's obedience to God, an entire city repented and found favor in God. And I think we can find assurance and confidence in our God to do great things through us if we trust him. And I'm just going to leave us with two readings, and I'll ask two different people to read these readings here as well. So could someone read Romans 1, 15 to 17? Actually, Ina, do you mind reading Romans 1, 15 to 17?
That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it has the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness comes from God. A righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Izzy, do you mind reading Romans 10, 12 to 15? So, if you're sat here this morning and you've not repented, genuinely repented and seeked the Lord Jesus, I'd pray that you'd pray to the Lord and seek the Lord like the people of Nineveh. If you are a believer and you love the Lord Jesus, I pray that you seek to be more like Jonah in that chapter there, to go out and preach, telling others about the Lord Jesus and seeking God's word. Amen.